Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. And I think this will be my last little delving. And obviously, even though I brought up about 6 to 7 emphases and showed how, hey, this is a real-world example of different principles I've been talking about from the John Abramson interview on Joe Rogan. Of course, there's a lot more there to dig out. I'm not going to go back and find every single 5 minutes. So couldn't recommend that one enough. Of course, he's had on Peter McCullough, who's been on, he's appeared on my guy, The Sod Truth with Got Sod out of Canada. I'm not in Canada. I was just thinking some of the other experts that have been pretty good activists, maybe I'm only thinking of Jordan Peterson right now, are out of Canada. Peter McCullough isn't out of Canada, and neither is John Abramson. But anyway, let's talk about one last deal from John Abramson's interview off Joe Rogan. And this is still about the subject of that I brought up last episode, this drug that was supposed to address Alzheimer's, that the FDA advisory board said absolutely no. All of them voted no for one, except for one advisory committee member who said, I'm going to abstain. I don't know why any of them abstain. I'm a little confused on that. How were you on the advisory committee if you needed to abstain for some other reason? So if you made it all the way to the end because you didn't basically recuse yourself, how do you not make a decision? I mean, what are you there for if not to make an actual conclusion? But nonetheless, let's talk about this. The fact that another aspect of it is that when we take indications and try to say that's the actual thing itself, discuss this a lot. You know, what if we just get an approximate indication? And not only is that the measurement, but that really stands in for the thing itself. And then we have just created a much bigger market. And this is a perfect example because Abramson says that even though the thing was not approved by the advisory committee, nobody wanted it approved, and the FDA approved it. I feel like he said afterwards, 2 or 3 people resigned from the advisory committee. So I don't think the thing's actually been put on the market yet, but don't quote me on that. But Abramson says the thing is, though, that if you go, there were public perception studies done, and it had a positive public perception. And it's like, well, how's that? Well, press releases. And maybe they've already been trying to get the doctors to go along with it. So the doctors, you know, idiot Sanjay Gupta has been on there. A very promising drug that causes brain swelling and brain bleeding. And all the advisory committee's member, none of the advisory committee members thought it should be passed. But it's very promising because he got a press release and he wants to be the cheerleader. You know, are they going to give him pom-poms and a skirt? So how is it that the public perception got to be positive? Those press releases and so on. I can't remember what it was. It was at least 50% positive. Well, it's not even on the market yet. And the advisory committee said, okay, we've looked into this and there's no way in hell this should be approved. But I want to talk about if that's the case, when marketing leads science, this is a correlation to something else I've talked about. So remember, what was it about? They said, okay, we believe that this medication will help Alzheimer's because it will decrease amyloid plaque, which is associated to Alzheimer's. Okay, so it does, and there's a horrific side effect, and there's no actual clinical benefit. So nice try. There was a correlation, but it was not cause and effect. And therefore, it doesn't matter. Your amyloid thing can stand on its own, but it's not enough. You might find that another one happens to decrease amyloid plaque, and it does work, but it's not cause and effect. But what if we are able to continue with our drumbeat of amyloid plaque decrease on its own is a good benefit? And all we say is, you know, it's associated with Alzheimer's. And that's all they say. It never says there's a cause and effect associated with Alzheimer's. And I'm going to give you a correlation to that. I mean, an analogy, a comparison, another similar situation. The idea of this, your cholesterol is the end-all, be-all. Those that have gone on Atkins and those types of diets are probably aware of this. But Joel Wallach, I was aware of him in the late 90s when I worked at a radio station briefly, and he had on a show that was kind of a long infomercial, but I also knew what he was talking about. I have some of his books. People will say cholesterol is not the culprit. It's the helper that just happens to be there because you have a cardiovascular problem. But you know that that's not the way anybody thinks about it now. It is a standard of you need to know your cholesterol. And if it's so bad, you should even go on a treatment based on your cholesterol measurement. But let's think through this, guys. What does cholesterol show? It shows blood cholesterol. Is that the problem? Is it a direct indication of whether your arteries are clogged? No. What is? I don't know, doing an angiogram. Then you would know whether your arteries are clogged or having some sense of your, I don't know, whether it be your blood pressure, your blood flow, would give you a sense of, or some, you know, listening to your heart, those types of things. The cholesterol by itself doesn't say anything. It is not an indication of that. And what if it's true that, as another expert, I think maybe McCullough or Abramson recently said, hey, the inside of your heart vessel should be as smooth as glass. So anything that deteriorates that is not good because then things can stick to the side of it. And that could be cholesterol. But the truth of the matter is that Wallach might say, no, would say that the cholesterol is actually the mortar. Your blood vessels are falling apart and something needs to seal them before they fail miserably. And so the cholesterol is not the culprit. It's just something that shows up because your body is reacting to a problem. And so to decrease the cholesterol is to decrease the mortar that's available when someone realizes that the brick building is about to fall apart. So they bring in a bunch of new mortar to put in the place. Hey, look at all this new mortar. That's a sign of the building going bad. Yeah, it was also a sign that we are going to repair the building. So if you have something that merely decreases your available cholesterol, that is not the same thing as addressing your cardiovascular disease necessarily. By indication, it's at least 2 degrees removed. So by the same token then, it's the same book it's the same page out of the same marketing book. What if instead of showing clinical results for Alzheimer's, we simply argue this is associated with Alzheimer's when it's not necessarily indicative of cause and effect? And apparently no one, if this is the latest and greatest, that, and maybe it's not. I mean, maybe there's better science that the big pharma is just ignoring. But if it indicates the latest and greatest of associations, oh, well, amyloid plaque seems to be indicative of Alzheimer's, but we don't exactly know. We don't exactly know whether or not decreasing amyloid plaque would decrease Alzheimer's. And in fact, when we had a study that checked a drug that did successfully decrease amyloid plaque, it did not help clinical outcomes in Alzheimer's. Well, we just don't argue that last part. We say amyloid plaque is associated with Alzheimer's. This thing, whether it's a supplement, whether it's a drug, so maybe they come out with another drug that decreases it without quite as many side effects. But who cares? What if you then just make the argument, just like the lower your cholesterol drugs? Just decrease the thing that's supposedly related to the problem. So what about drugs that just forget having a clinical outcome of the final problem? Do they decrease the alleged indication of the problem? We do it with cholesterol. Do we not? Yes, we do. We have cholesterol-lowering drugs. Is that a cardiovascular problem-decreasing drug? No, it's literally called a cholesterol-lowering drug. So is it really the final problem? Or is it you're just messing with a correlated condition in the body? It's the latter. So what's going to happen? You're going to have drugs that are approved purely because they decrease amyloids, amyloid plaque. When amyloid plaque, probably, if Abramson's story is any indication, is not cause and effect. It's as close as we know. It could be related. We don't know why it's related. We don't know if it's there because of some other problem. But if we reduce it, we can say it's associated with. We are going to have amyloid reducing drugs. And then we're going to ignore the side effects. We're going to make studies that are too small. So we can say, well, there are some side effects, but they were statistically insignificant after the data is not available to peer reviewers. And so dirty tricks are being done with their proprietary data that shouldn't be proprietary. All right, guys, that's it. I just thought it was a great analogy of, really, I'll say it again. I mean, the best analogy is, okay, guess what? Your brick building is falling down, but we can't see how or why. We just know the brick building seems to be in bad shape. And somehow, even though we can't look around and understand exactly what's going on, we can tell that there's mortar, a bunch of mortar in there. And so, you know what's associated? Free mortar plus bad buildings. So you know what we should do? Well, they're associated, so they might be cause and effect, or they may not be. What they might be, and since free mortar associated with bad buildings might be cause and effect, then what we should do is do something that gets rid of the free mortar. You know, mortar that's available to fix the building. So let's take our analogy further. Let's increase the heat in the building so the free mortar won't be as free. Let's say free mortar means it's available to be put on bricks, but they don't understand that that's how it works. They just know they've got free mortar. Well, we make the free mortar less active if we increase the heat. When in reality, all you did was make the building not get repaired as well, because there wasn't as much mortar available. So that's my analogy for you. A correlation to another condition in the body is not cause and effect. And so to then treat the secondary condition that you just are kind of assuming might be cause and effect, but it's never really been understood because the body is a complicated situation, especially if that treatment of the merely correlated condition in the body has side effects, is to say counterproductive would be the understatement of the century. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. I'm Tyson Harley.